Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, October 2nd. Coming up in today's episode, a meeting is being held in Medway to talk about the St George crosses that have been appearing across the county. And we'll hear from a Kent cheerleading squad that's been chosen to compete at the World Championships in America. But first, taking a look at our top story today, an inquest has found an Ashford mum who stabbed her daughter before turning the knife on herself had told a psychiatric nurse of her fear of being sectioned just hours before the attack. Reporter Max Chesson has been following this story for the podcast. He's with me now with some more details. First of all, Max, what do we know about the attack itself?
So on June 2nd, Orica Lazar stabbed her adult daughter, Roxana Hartigan, in the back with a 12-inch kitchen knife while Roxana was cooking a family meal at the home in Elson Close, Ashford. Roxana says she turned around, saw her mother with the blade, fought back, she bit her mother's hand, and fled outside screaming, "She stabbed me." Roxana was taken to hospital, King's College Hospital in London, where she was treated for a punctured lung, although has since made a full recovery. Neighbours and police later found Miss Lazar on the kitchen floor, still holding the knife, with what would prove to be fatal stab wounds to her neck and chest. Police have said these injuries were self-inflicted.
And I understand details were heard at the inquest about Miss Lazar's mental health.
At the inquest, evidence emerged that Miss Lazar had suffered from long-term mental health issues. She'd experienced paranoia, anxiety and schizophrenia and had twice been sectioned while living in Denmark. She'd only moved to the UK the summer before as her mental health had deteriorated to the point she was unable to look after herself while living abroad. In the hours before the attack, she and her daughter had actually attended a memory assessment appointment in Canterbury amid concern she might be developing dementia. It was at that appointment she told a nurse she feared being sectioned and had a deep sense of helplessness. But the nurse recorded no immediate signs of risk or distress and was left horrified to hear about the incident which had occurred later in the day.
And what was the outcome of the hearing?
The court heard primarily from a police report prepared after Miss Lazar's death, which included lines from the family who did not attend. Here, it was heard how Miss Lazar was once a loving and charismatic woman, but it was difficult to reconcile that with the person she became in her final years. On Facebook, her daughter paid tribute, calling Miss Lazar beautiful, gentle, and charismatic. After the 45-minute proceedings came to a close, Coroner Katrina Hepburn recorded a conclusion of suicide at the inquest, which took place at Oakwood House in Maidstone. She found that on the balance of probabilities, Miss Lazar had intended to take her own life, and that while her mental illness may have significantly affected her mind, she was judged able to understand the likely consequences.
Thanks so much, Max. You can read more about this by clicking on the story on the homepage at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A woman in her 80s is in a serious condition in hospital after getting hit by a bus in Hythe. Police, paramedics and the air ambulance were called to Prospect Road just before 3 yesterday afternoon. She was flown to London for treatment. Investigators are keen to speak to any passengers on the bus who may have left before officers arrived. A registered sex offender from Medway has been sent back to prison for accessing cartoon images of child abuse. Stuart Menem was out on parole when police found him in possession of a secret phone containing more than 600 pictures. The 47-year-old, who has no fixed address, was sentenced to another 4 years. Kent police are investigating reports a child was approached by a group of men at Tunbridge Cemetery. The girl, who was of secondary school age, was walking her dog on Monday afternoon when she saw three men running in her direction. She felt someone possibly grab her arm as she ran towards an exit for Darrenfe Avenue. Police want to speak to any witnesses. A man who punched a psychiatric nurse at Darrenfe Valley Hospital in Dartford has avoided being sent to prison. Michael Lorryman went to the hospital for help during a mental health episode in 2022, but became angry and lashed out at the male staff member. The 33-year-old from Newbury Road in Erith received a suspended sentence and was ordered to pay victim compensation. Now, two people have been arrested after a stolen digger worth £100,000 was spotted on a flatbed truck in Dartford Heath. The vehicle was reported missing from Swanley Park in New Barn Road on Friday night, but found by officers on patrol about an hour later. This is the moment police caught up with the suspects.
There we are, mate. Get down on the floor, please. Get down on the floor. Get down on the floor. Oi, come out of here. Come out. Come out. Can we have some assistance on Dartford Heath, please? What, stay where you are. Put your hands behind your back.
Yeah, I've got some assistance on the way there.
Two males detained, got the digger found as well. You alright, Charlie? Well, stay exactly where you are. You're under arrest, yeah? For theft of a vehicle. Yeah. You don't have to say anything, may harm your defence. You do not mention when questioned, something later on in court. Anything you do say, maybe get evidence, all right?
The two men have been released on bail. Inquiries are ongoing.
Kent Online News.
After flags started appearing on lampposts in Kent over the summer, a meeting's been called to talk about the reasons behind it. While some say the Raise the Colours campaign is patriotic, others are worried it's being used by anti-immigration campaigners to make some people feel uncomfortable. Reverend Nathan Ward is the vicar of St Margaret's Church in Raynham. He's been telling Nicola he's organised a Let's Talk About the Flag event.
I'm not against peaceful protest. I'm not against people coming out and marching. I think there's ways of doing that which are right and proper. What that doesn't bring is a conversation, a dialogue, and therefore this event is can be part of that wider picture, but it's actually sitting down and saying, okay, what is going on here? Because even when we've seen protests in other parts of the country, my sense is that the people are saying something, and it's very easy to ignore what they might want to be saying and saying, well, actually, their behaviours are illegitimate and there's no place for them in a democratic society, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, actually, let's start asking some hard questions. So, for example, one of the tensions within our community may well be the thought that how is it that a migrant can be put up in a hotel where someone who served in the British Army and is homeless on the street doesn't get a hotel? And that's kind of a hard circle to square, and that does engender feelings that can lead to people taking to the streets. Well, actually, my sense is if people that did find themselves homeless were in hotels, we wouldn't necessarily be talking about migrants in hotels, because there's that sort of balance. And where is it in a democratic society can we come together and have those honest conversations around what we're feeling?
What are you hoping will come from this? Are the flags going to come down? Are they going to stay up? Does it matter if they come down? What do you want to happen long term, do you think?
So it's slightly ironic that I'm calling the meeting Let's Talk About the Flag. Fundamentally, it's nothing to do with the flag. That's my hunch. I might be proved wrong by the people that turn up and say it's all about the flag. Well, fine, let's talk about the flag then. But what my hope for the meeting is that we can get beyond that and say, OK, then, what is actually going on? What are the things that are underneath the surface that we can bring to the forefront? And this meeting isn't going to be some sort of magic wand that's going to make peace and harmony and we'd all walk together with flowers around our necks and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to get back to the 60s. But what I think it does do is start a journey where we can walk together as a community, share our concerns, and feel heard by those who are in positions of leadership and authority, and get understanding of each other as well.
It's happening on October 14th, with representatives from all the political parties in Medway going along. The shortlist of names to be the new Archbishop of Canterbury has been revealed. Two women are among the four bishops in contention to take over from Justin Welby, who left the position in January. A final decision is expected to be announced on Friday. The number of people in Kent being admitted to hospital with COVID is on the rise. Health bosses say it's quadrupled in the last 2 months following the emergence of a new strain named XFG. We're being urged to make sure our vaccinations are up to date. Now, a Medway family say planning officers have refused an annex for their severely disabled son on a technicality. Sonia and Steve Butler want to add the extension to plans for a house they're already already building in Hoo St Werba. They say council found no fault with the designs, but as building work on the property the annex will be attached to has been delayed, it had to be turned down. Steve has been talking to Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
I think that there might be procedural problems with what planning have done, which is fair enough, and if that means it goes in our favour, that's great. But what I would like to say, I think, is that the justice of the actual application and what we're trying to do is the most important thing. So in a way, it would be good if we could get a result based on the justice of the situation rather than just some procedural error. Although if that does go in our favour and that helps get things done quickly, obviously we'd go for that. But the overriding thing, what's keeping us going, is trying to provide for our son and feeling that what we're doing isn't wrong, it's the right thing to do. So that's what keeps us going, really.
Because it must be quite difficult knowing that you're doing all this for your son. We're not going to name him before, but obviously he has quite severe needs that obviously are now not really going to be met until this annex is built.
No, and it's his mental health primarily that's the most pressing factor at the moment, because his medical needs are increasing and will develop and get worse, but at the moment it's his mental health, and it's that which is the most precious thing to us, and it's something that all families face. I'm sure if they have to face that, they would do a similar thing to us, because again, I don't feel we're doing anything out of the ordinary that any parent wouldn't do faced with the situation we're in. So in that sense, it's, I'm sure other people would understand where we're coming from, really.
And obviously, now you're kind of caught in this interim period. What's it like for you and your wife? Because obviously, you're essentially being forced to kind of live in this kind of caravan, this annex, waiting for all the planning permission to be sorted.
The only way we can get through it is going through each day at a time and fighting the battles that need to be fought on that day. If we kind of look too far into the future, it starts getting a little bit bleak. So we're just taking each day as it comes, fighting the battles that happen on that day, and then moving on to the next one and seeing what happens. So it's obviously been challenging living where we are, but of course we've got another winter coming up. This will be the second winter where we've been in this situation, so we're trying to mitigate that as much as we can within the funds that we do have. But I do know from last year that when we thought everything was going through okay, that living in those situations when it's really cold and windy and you know you're effectively living a bit wild, it's really difficult. So what I'm really hoping is that we can wrap all this up before the winter comes, because it's going to be challenging doing what we're doing anyway. It's a challenge to build your own property and provide for your son with a building. So that on top of the winter conditions would be really intolerable. So I'm hoping and praying we can get everything sorted out.
Councillor Michael Pugh says he's confident the decision will be overturned on appeal.
Oh, I'm really disappointed. I think this is a completely bonkers decision to refuse this application. It's a very easy application to support. It's to help a disabled son and their family who have been trying to build this annex, this house, this side extension on the property for a number of years now. And I just can't understand why they would refuse it, would turn it down. I think the reason for refusal is completely flawed. It's completely unreasonable. And one important thing as well, from a legal perspective, they haven't even appraised the application properly with the neighbourhood plan, which the parish council put together and had everyone sign off. So it's just completely balmy to me. And my understanding is that the applicant is going to appeal this decision, and I will support the applicant going to the planning inspector to hopefully allow this application on appeal. What frustrates me is that the committee could have easily resolved the situation that night. They could have approved the application and just put a simple condition in place that the annex remains ancillary to a main building, and that would resolve the issue. But for some reason, we're going through quite a bureaucratic, long-winded process when it could just be so easily resolved, and the family concerned can stop having stressful, sleepless nights trying to resolve it, because they have to resolve the annex before finishing off the rest of the house. So the quicker we can get this resolved, which we could have done on the night, on the planning committee evening, the quicker we get it resolved, the quicker the family can get on with completing their project and having the family all together As one unit.
Kent Online News.
National Highways has announced the Lower Thames Crossing is expected to be the first major infrastructure project in the country to be carbon neutral. It comes as survey work for the road link between Kent and Essex was carried out with a hydrogen-fuelled digger. The project will be completed using low-carbon construction methods and materials. A Kent charity that supports young carers has been telling us about some of the challenges they're facing. Imago helps people under the age of 18 who might be struggling to balance their responsibilities at home and their own well-being. I've been speaking to Angela Holland, who is the Director of Children and Young People Services at Imago.
The demand, often with young carers, the demanding nature of their roles frequently, I would say, limits their ability to perhaps engage in social activities, leading to that feeling of isolation, and almost kind of depriving them of those vital opportunities for personal and social development. I would say also ongoing, perhaps the economic crisis has further exacerbated hardships that families are experiencing. That then for me just intensifies the challenges of caring and restricting access to those essential activities, leaving often young carers with fewer resources to cope and perhaps recover.
How are charitable funds, you mentioned sort of Ivy and Jane and things like that, where do they come in? How do they step in and help young carers with the challenges that they're facing?
The support, it's a meaningful and positive difference to the lives of the young carers that we support. It enables us to provide a wide range of respite opportunities for young carers across all of Kent. And again, it supports with that personal development, that social development, and it helps young people to balance their caring role and hopefully lead those healthier and happier lives. Because we're able to provide that range of opportunity and activities.
They're among more than 100 groups getting support from the Ivy and Jane Charitable Trust, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary. Budgens is making a second bid to sell alcohol from their new branch in the Chatham waterfront development. A previous application was rejected by council over fears of antisocial behaviour in an area deemed to have high rates of alcohol-related crime. Supermarket bosses argue the area has changed and they want to service customers living in the new developments. A former beauty queen who was known as a hairdressing legend has died at the age of 79. Eve Bayliss opened the Coronet in Hunter Avenue in Willsborough in 1967 before launching Eve's in the same street. It's still running more than 40 years later. It is now known as the Hair Shop. Eve passed away in August. She's being remembered as a hugely popular person who always wore her heart on her sleeve.
Kent Online News.
A long-running restoration project to restore an historic windmill in Sandwich is now complete. Renovations at the White Mill started in 2011. It cost around £25,000, but most of the work was done by volunteers. It dates back to 1760 and was still in use as recently as 1957. The owners of Kent's famous Teapot Island have announced they're putting their entire collection up for sale. More than 8,000 teapots are on display on the island in Yalding, which has been visited by celebrities and royalty. It's expected to fetch up to £80,000 at auction this month. You can see pictures at Kent Online. It's been confirmed a new Greggs store will be opening in Folkestone in the next few weeks. The bakery chain is taking over the former Barclays Bank on the corner of Sandgate Road and West Terrace. The building's been empty for more than 2 years. Supporters of a Deal charity have completed a challenge to drive from Kent to Monte Carlo. 10 teams had to complete the journey in cars worth less than £500. The cars were decorated in themes like the Blues Brothers and Austin Powers. They've managed to raise £22,000 for the Martha Trust. You can see pictures at Kent Online. And a cheerleading squad from Medway have been chosen to compete at a World Championships in America. MCDA All-Stars will face some of the most talented from around the globe when they head to Florida next April. Almost 30 athletes will be making the trip and fundraising is underway to pay for their entry fees. The Kent Online podcast was able to catch up with them.
My name's Jolene and I'm the owner and head coach at MCDA All-Stars.
I'm Charlotte, I'm one of the coaches.
We're at MCDA All-Stars, which is a cheerleading gym based in Chatham in Kent. So two of our teams through the season this year have won bids to go and compete at the All-Star World Championships in Florida, which is happening in April 2026. A couple of them went in 2025, but for a lot of them, it's the first time they've earned a bid. So they're super excited. And yeah, it's all go now, work hard, ready to go next April.
It's a massive opportunity for all of them, and they're all really excited. It's one of the biggest competitions for them and for us as a club to take them to, and it's a massive opportunity. They're all super excited and can't wait.
The athletes' parents are funding the main part of the trip, the travel, accommodation, and insurance and stuff like that. But we are going to fundraise to pay for their entries into the competition, which is about £230 per child. And we've got 29 athletes. So that's a big lump sum. We'd like to get them some new bows, new T-shirts, and if possible, a whole new kit. But that is mega money. So we have a GoFundMe page and we're hoping to get lots of donations to help us on the way.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. To find out more, head to www.kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.